Amen. Well, our Old Testament reading this evening is from the book of Ruth, chapter 2, where we continue in our Sunday evening series, which we started last week, and where we find these blessed words inspired by God's Holy Spirit. These words revealing God's redemptive purposes, His grace, and how indeed, as we just sang, His wings are our confidence. What beautiful poetry. His wings are our confidence. Ruth chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Now, Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabite, said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. And he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother in your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some of the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests, and she lived with her mother-in-law. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to our God once again in prayer. Our gracious, loving, and redeeming Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for godly examples like Ruth and Boaz. Grant us to be worthy men and women, boys and girls, as Boaz was worthy. And grant us to be like Ruth and take refuge not in ourselves, but under your wings. By the power of your Holy Spirit, through Christ our Redeemer, we pray. Amen. Well, as we saw last week in our opening lesson in our study of the book of Ruth, Ruth was a Moabite woman who had come to faith in the God of Israel. Her father-in-law, Elimelech, a Jew from Bethlehem, had led his family into Moab during a time of famine in Judah. There, he, along with his sons, Mahlon and Chilion, died, leaving his wife, Naomi, and his daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. Orpah, also a Moabite, ultimately decided to stay in Moab. But Ruth clung to Naomi and vowed to follow her back to Bethlehem, famously saying, "Where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." It's beautiful covenantal language from Ruth to Naomi, expressing the kind of covenantal love, that hesed love that God has for her people. Her clinging to Naomi was ultimately an expression of the fact that she was now clinging to Naomi's God. No longer did she worship Chemosh, the god of the Moabites. Now she worshiped the Lord, the one true and living God, her creator, her redeemer, and her friend. As we said last week, Ruth means something like compassion or compassionate friend. Well, she had come to know God, the living God, as her best friend, her compassionate, faithful friend. He's not a fair weather friend. He's not there just when things are going well. Neither is he a foul weather friend. He doesn't just show up when things are going bad, kind of like Job's friends did. He's a friend all the time. And Ruth came to know him as her compassionate friend. She learned that ultimately he was clinging to her. He loved her, and he was always going to take care of her. She trusted him, and she was growing in her faith in him. Thus, Boaz, after getting to know this young woman of faith, said to her in verse 12 of the text we just read, "The Lord repay you for what you have done." The fruit of her faith in the Lord repay you for what you have done, treating Naomi this way as you have treated her, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. So let's use Boaz's words of benediction, commendation, encouragement to frame our thoughts this evening under 2 points. First, Ruth took refuge under the wings of the Lord. And second, Ruth was rewarded because of it. First, Ruth took refuge under the wings of the Lord. This image of the Lord as a bird is one that is found throughout Scripture, whether intimated in the creation account as the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. The term hovered there is often used to describe the fluttering wings of a bird covering her young. Or the Spirit of God, again, descending upon Jesus in bodily form as a dove at his baptism. Or as we heard and sang from Psalm 91, the Most High will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. Or Jesus, as Dr. Jerby read from Luke's Gospel, Jesus lamenting over Jerusalem, saying, "How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing." Well, Ruth, this Moabite, unlike the children of Israel in Jesus' day, and many of them in Ruth's day, Ruth was willing. She willingly and unreservedly came under the wings of the Lord. She was willing to forsake all that she had ever known and place her faith in the Lord. That's just a beautiful thing. We should never grow tired of hearing about people doing that, or seeing people do that, or praying and sharing the love of Christ and showing mercy to people and sharing the gospel with them so that they might do that. That might be an avenue by which they might do that, coming under his wing. We should never grow tired of the amazement that God, by his Holy Spirit, would lead us to do that, to come under the wings of the Lord and take refuge in him. So Ruth is this beautiful trophy of God's grace in her willingness to take him at his word and find refuge under his wings. She knew that God was a gracious God. Listen, nobody is going to come to God and take refuge under his wings if they believe he's going to shoo them away. That's not how it's going to work. People have to be convinced in their minds that God is a gracious God before they're going to come to him for salvation. And so she had learned that. This God of Israel, unlike Chemosh and all the gods of the surrounding nations, this God is the God of grace. He's the God of free salvation. So she had learned of his grace, even to those outside the physical family of Israel. She knew that through his people, this God was willing to provide even for the foreigner and sojourner who reached out to him with the empty hands of faith. His law even required his people to allow sojourners to glean from their fields. So what did she do? She stepped out in faith and did that. She took God at his word. "You have said in your word that your people are to do this, so I'm going to step out in faith and I'm going to do this. I'm going to take you at your word." She trusted the Lord to provide. And it just so happened, as the writer put it in verse 3, that's how the writer puts it in verse 3, she happened to walk into the field of Boaz. So he's speaking from Ruth's perspective. She just happened. Now, we heard the Westminster Shorter Catechism earlier, right? And so we know from other portions of God's word that this was part of God's plan for this to take place. But from her perspective, she's just trusting God, and she just happens upon the field of Boaz. She comes to this field of this worthy man. Now, you know, she could have, the story could have taken a very different turn, right? She could have wandered onto the field of a man who wasn't quite so honest, a man who wasn't a man of integrity, a man who wasn't a man of kindness, a man that would have taken advantage of her. And that's hence the warning that Boaz and Naomi had given her. But the Lord's hand was upon her, and she wandered, as it were, onto this field of this worthy man, as we are told in verse 1. meaning Boaz was a man of great worth. Now, that phrase, being of great worth or being worthy, could have referred to his character, his wealth, his position in the community. He was great in all those departments. And Boaz would be the primary way, through his character, through his wealth, through his position in the community, through his position in the family tree, who would extend his wings of refuge over Ruth. Literally in chapter 3 and verse 9, if you want to look ahead, it's allowed every once in a while, we'll peek ahead. Chapter 3 and verse 9, Ruth will say to Boaz, "Spread your wings over me, for you are my redeemer." More on that next week. That's just a little teaser. Spread your wings over me, for you are my redeemer. And more in coming weeks on how Boaz was going to play the role of that kinsman redeemer of Ruth, how he was going to step in and save her in the sense of marrying her in the place of her deceased husband, his relative. But even here in their first meeting, you see his heart, the heart of this man, this worthy man, Boaz. A heart of kindness. Again, that hesed love that's really the theme of the book of Ruth. That compassionate, faithful, loyal love. Really grace. This hesed love that we see throughout the book of Ruth. The hesed love that Ruth had shown Naomi. That Naomi had shown Ruth. And that the Lord had shown them. And that the Lord shows all his people. Boaz wanted to ensure Ruth's safety, again, so he instructed her where to go and where not to go as she gleaned and retrieved water. This is a godly man. And he allowed her to glean even more than the law required. He allowed her to glean not just in the fields, but in the sheaves themselves, the bundles of grain that had already been gathered. In that one day alone, she gleaned enough for her and Naomi to eat for 2 whole weeks. What a picture of God's gracious provision. Boaz supplied her every need and allowed her to keep gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests. Boaz was intent on repaying Ruth for what she had done, how she had treated his relative Naomi. But in his words to her in verse 12, he spoke not only of repayment, he also spoke of a full reward given to her by the Lord. And that's our second point. The reward Ruth experienced as she took refuge under the wings of the Lord, the God of Israel. The phrase "full reward" there in verse 12 is the idea of God going above and beyond just providing what one might expect. In this case, barley or wheat, as important as grain was for Ruth and Naomi's survival. This idea of full reward carries the idea of God doing something shocking, something way beyond what you could ask or imagine. It was the same word that God used with Abraham in Genesis 15:1. When he said, "Fear not, Abram, I am your shield, and your reward shall be great." Some translations say, "I am your shield and exceeding great reward." Ultimately, the Lord himself was Abraham's reward for believing in the Lord. But along with that, God was going to reward Abraham's faith with something very tangible, something in this life that was unimaginable beyond his and Sarah's wildest imagination, namely a child given to them in their old age and childlessness. God went on to say to him, "Look toward heaven, Abram, and number the stars, if you are able to number them, so shall your offspring be." This is the kind of thing that God was going to do for Ruth as she trusted him. Like Abraham, Ruth, this Moabite, not a physical descendant of Abraham, and it shows God's grace to the nations. Like Abraham, Ruth believed the Lord, and he counted it to her as righteousness. So again, through Abraham, through Ruth, through all of these people, these saints of the Old Testament, we see salvation by grace, free grace. Ruth believed the Lord, and he counted it her as righteousness. And with that righteousness, with the free salvation by grace, he was going to bless her beyond what she could have imagined. She had prayed and hoped and trusted and labored so that God would give her food to eat, enough for her and Naomi to survive. But as Boaz's own pronouncement of blessing upon her said, the Lord was going to do far beyond that. He was going to redeem her. Redeem her through Boaz, in a temporal sense, blessing her beyond what she could have imagined. And he was going to redeem her eternally through the life and blood of a future descendant, bringing true and abundant life and happiness and blessing to her forever and ever. All because why? She took refuge under his wings. Are his wings your confidence tonight? Are you taking refuge confidently, trustingly, under his wings? Are you looking away from self and circumstances and to Jesus, coming under his wings the way chicks take refuge under the wings of their mother hen? You know, it can be easy to look around and think, you know, things have gotten just really bad. They've never been this bad before. They're terrible. You know, the world, America, everything, everybody going to hell in a handbasket, as they say. And it would be very easy to lose hope. Very easy to lose hope. Well, friends, Ruth could have done that in her day. Things were not good in her day. Remember how the book of Ruth begins? Chapter 1, verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled. Now, we just had a study of the book of Judges and considered how bad things had gotten when the judges ruled. They were really bad. In the closing chapters of the book of Judges, we see Levites, priests, taking concubines and all the rest, and to show things had gotten rotten in Israel. And so for Ruth, a Moabite, she may have thought, well, look how bad things are going for God's people. Look at everybody's doing what is right in his own eyes. Look at the famine. Look at how people are turning away from God. God doesn't seem to be blessing. But that's not what Ruth did. She stepped out in faith. She stepped out in hope. She came under the wings of the Lord and discovered that he is the rewarder of all who seek him. And he is always at work. That's one of the great principles of the book of Ruth. God is always at work showing his hesed love. Our call is to ask him, Lord, help me be a part of that. Help me experience that more deeply. and help me be part of what you are already doing. The Lord can work in and through us just as he worked in and through, amazingly, savingly, redemptively, through Ruth when she stepped out in faith and came under his wings as her refuge. Friends, it is truly so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to trust his cleansing blood. Just in simple faith to plunge beneath that healing, cleansing flood. There's nothing sweeter in the world than that. 'Tis so sweet from sin and self to cease. Take a vacation from self. That's the greatest vacation. From sin and self to cease. The striving, the works righteousness, the trying to perform in order to show that we deserve it. No. Cease from all that. Simply receiving from him life and rest and joy and peace. Let us learn more and more to trust Jesus, our blessed Savior and very best friend, knowing that he is with us and will be with us to the end. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.